Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Thursday, September 12th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. Those of you that caught wind of this about 5 minutes ago, I apologize for not making this I didn't post about this show. I barely even shared about it. I didn't even set a timer for you guys, so I apologize for that. It's my fault for being behind today with everything going on, getting up all the clips from yesterday, and I'm going to be joining Brian on After Hours Live for us to jointly cover the debate tonight on his channel, on After Hours Live. So make sure you join us there in about 28 minutes, 27 minutes. So I'm going to do my best to go through a couple of topics here that I thought were important for today specifically, that I would imagine most of you that are used to seeing this as a notification, as a, you know, posted show scheduled for the day, will probably be catching this on the replay tomorrow. But nonetheless, some important things. Now, I have four topics that I'm going to try to get to. If I don't have enough time, I'll just bump it over till tomorrow, and we can discuss it there. So we can make sure, I join Brian for the debate at 5:30 tonight, which starts at 6 my time. So you guys can join us, and we'll talk about all the absurdities going on there. But of course, the main part that I'm going to get to first is Israel being accused and basically caught spying on the White House, which, if you know your history, is nothing new at all, even in the slightest. But of course, they're denying and saying, how dare you accuse us? Guess what? That's racist for you to do that. Who cares about the evidence? That's the story we're going to get into first. Of course, there's other things that I'm going to try to get to, such as Spain signing an agreement with Saudi Arabia about $1 billion worth of weapons in the midst of the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, in living memory for that matter. Of course, the United Nations is again saying that France, US, the UK, all of them are complicit in war crimes. But they're all, that must be anti-Semitic too, right? Because that's just not true, even though it is. And of course, the Pentagon is buying depleted uranium rounds, Russian-made ammunition, by the way. Despite their egregious history in Iraq, yeah, but let's just start loading up with uranium-depleted rounds yet again to give entire generations cancer and deformities. And understand how ironic and how disgusting it is for them to be using depleted uranium as a weapon while they're accusing Iran of things that they're clearly not doing while they're using uranium for a civilian program. I mean, that is rank hypocrisy. But before I bloviate for too long and waste my time, let's get into the first story. This one coming from Politico, which is where most people saw it today. It's a big story. And of course, Israel accused of planting mysterious spy devices near the White House. Now, I mean, this is a huge story that's being incredibly ignored by the mainstream media, that's being casually sidestepped by anyone that makes look bad, and including the executive branch, by the way, that's not doing anything about this, despite this coming, you know, from the U.S. government saying, guess what? We found devices. Israel's been spying on the White House. And, you know, and just think about where that goes in your mind with all the things we've been talking about, with the Epstein idea, with the blackmail network. I'm going to touch on that more in a second, but recognize that maybe we just stumbled across the same thing. Think about that and what that may say about how aggressively pro-Israel this administration has been. Think about that. Now, the article reveals that Israelis have been for years planting spy devices near the White House. Now, the report cites former senior U.S. officials who described that forensic analysis of recovered cell phone surveillance devices point back to Israeli intelligence, which is believed to have conducted the operation over the past 2 years. It says, quote, "It was pretty clear that the Israelis were responsible." This is one of the former senior intelligence officials speaking with Politico. But again, even in a story that I feel is likely true, it's still frustratingly absurd. It is patently stupid that every mainstream outlet everywhere for any story they tell never, ever, ever cite sources anymore. It's always anonymous person said, former intelligence person revealed, which doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that these people have completely sidestepped any illusion of journalistic integrity. They no longer need two sources. They just need one person in the government and they run with the story. Even though the government tends to lie about 75% of the time, maybe all the time. But the point is, it's stupid that they can get away with that. They do it anyway. But the reason I think I'm pretty certain it's true is because of the evidence found, as well as the fact that the Israelis have been caught and have done this in this country more than once, including illegally, you know, surreptitiously stealing nuclear technology from the U.S. government, which gave them their secret nuclear arsenal that the government of the United States then agreed to never let anyone hear about, which makes no sense at all unless you start to discover some kind of back network of blackmail that allows these things to carry on, outside the realm of normalcy in every possible way. He said it's pretty damn clear here that the Israelis were responsible. Of course, I added the damn, but it seems pretty damn clear to me, too. He says that the intelligence agencies, that the FBI and the U.S. agencies in general, they personally believe that the planted devices were, quote, likely intended to spy on President Trump and his top aides. Now, it's, you know, it's easy to imagine the outpouring of fury and, you know, wall-to-wall media coverage. Of course, with congressional hearings and investigations, you know, should such allegations had they centered on, you know, another foreign country caught spying on the White House, you know, let's say Russia, for example, I think we can imagine the unbelievable, this would be the biggest story, even though it's not really, it would be the biggest story of the century in this country. And even this story, this is a big story, but it's not bigger than all the horrible things going on around the world today that we should be talking about. But of course, if it was Russia, we would never hear the end of it. Of course, Politico's reporting this, and it's barely made a dent in the mainstream media or the cable networks or any of the mainstream outlets. Basically nothing. Absolutely, other than just comment on how, oh, well, they said it wasn't true, so let's move forward, right? Let's just go ahead and blindly take the word of the person who is being accused of this crime, and then we'll move forward, which is what they're doing. Netanyahu said it's not true, so then we know our job is to blindly take him at his word, so we're going to move forward. I mean, that's my take on the way they're doing that, but what they're doing is pretty damn clear. Not talking about the story, despite all the evidence being there, and that evidence coming even from our own government. Now, understand what that shows you. No, we shouldn't be trusting our own government more than we should be trusting anybody. But recognize that the mainstream media is choosing to take the word of a foreign country's leader at face value over its own government officials who found the information. I mean, think about that for a moment. And we shouldn't be trusting any of them. But understand that your mainstream media, if you're an American, let's just specifically talk about the, you know, Fox, CNN, they are taking Netanyahu's word over the government officials that presented the evidence. Come on. How much more do we need to see? Now, this is partly because the administration's own reaction has been basically next to nothing. It's easily being ignored because even the Trump administration, even the executive branch, has acted like this is no big deal. As the report notes that, quote, the Trump administration took no action to punish or even privately scold the Israeli government for being caught illegally spying on the White House. I mean, anybody, literally anybody, a bum on the corner of the street found spying on the White House would be a bigger story than this. And this is, of course, after being informed by U.S. intelligence that Israel likely was the one that planted the devices. And, of course, he took absolutely no action. Not only no action, did less than nothing. He didn't even talk about it. He didn't even say, hey, stop spying on us illegally. Nothing. Which, to me, hints at a power structure that we don't really recognize. Or rather, most people don't. Now, this is... Political sources here, in most instances, held up top intelligence and national security posts. But again, we don't get their names, we don't know who they are, so for all we know, that entire thing could be made up. That's what's so ridiculous about anonymous sources. They claim, anyway, that they were held top intelligence and national security posts. They describe the recovered spy device at the devices as the miniature surveillance devices, colloquially, I don't know why I have such a trouble saying that word. I know how to spell it. It's one of those words that gets stuck in your head. Anyway, generally known as stingrays. And this is interesting, especially since stingrays are something that's been interestingly relevant in our country, illegally being used by police to spy on civilians, or illegally used by intelligence services to spy on civilians. And yet here we are with Israel, interestingly, using the same tactic to spy on the White House. You know, read into that what you will, but I feel like there's something there. Now, they say they mimic regular cell towers to fool cell phones into giving them their locations and identity information. So just, you know, basically the same things that they all illegally take from you and claim they're not, they then use these things at certain times to take it as well. They also can capture the contents of the calls and the data that you use, right? Despite that you not giving them any, allowing them to do so. Now, their devices were likely intended to spy on Donald Trump, they said. This is according to one of the officials.
as well as his top aides, though they said it's not clear whether the Israeli efforts were successful. Or maybe it is clear. Right? Maybe it's clearer than they make it out to be, since we're watching what many Americans feel is an administration that is currently putting the interests of a foreign nation before that of the American people. So maybe they did hear something. Maybe they acted on it. It's just something to think about. And think on how similar that this is to the blackmail network of Epstein, that Epstein was connected to, which is also tied back to Mossad. I mean, think about this dating all the way back to, I mean, we talked about this with Whitney Webb. The reality of Epstein and the blackmail network that dates all the way back to Prohibition ties back into, you know, the Israeli intelligence and Mossad in regard to the mafia as well, knowing that predominantly there was Italian and Jewish in the mafia. And the information that she uncovered shows pretty damn clearly that this network of blackmail dated all the way back to the FBI, included people, the head of the FBI at the time, included all kinds of people. And understand that is the same network we're looking at that ties back to Mossad today. And then recognize, as we talked about in the interview, that maybe, just maybe, we were looking at the moment when another government was able to use blackmail to take essentially ostensible control over the direction of our government. Certainly something we should be able to ask, but of course not, because that's off limits, because you're crazy if you even suggest that, or more so, you're racist if you even dare to suggest that they would do something that plenty of other people have tried to do and would do throughout history. But of course, if it's Israel, you're a racist. Doesn't make sense. But now we're looking at another example, a real-world today example of Israel planting spying devices around the White House in order to do what, would you think? Maybe to get some insight on what they're trying to accomplish, or maybe, just maybe, to find information that could be used against them. Which then is exactly what we got wind of in regard to Epstein. And I think we're just kind of chipping at the top of this thing, and we're continuing to see what they don't want us to see. Maybe, potentially, the real ruling structure. Now, from the moment that the report was unveiled early today, Israel's stance has been to vehemently deny and to even suggest that the accusations are, of course, you know, tinged with anti-Semitism. As always, right? Who cares about the facts and the evidence and everything that they found? You're a racist if you look at that stuff, right? Don't you dare look at the evidence that they presented, because if you think it's Israel, you're a racist. Even if it is Israel, if you think that, you're a racist. This is where we are today. And it's successful to a certain degree with a lot of people that are afraid to be seen that way. Now, the former head of the IDF Military Intelligence Directorate drove headlines by posting a statement online saying Politico's reporting is, quote, fake news spiced with anti-Semitism. Now, take a moment. What about this story in any possible way could even slightly be misunderstood as anti-Semitic? Is any of this even close to being about Jewish people or any other Semite, or rather any actual Semites? I mean, is any of this in any way about anything that could be even slightly, like, this furthest stretch of the imagination be seen as something that's racist? You know that's a no, except that you're talking about Israel. So anytime you say anything that demonizes Israel, even if they're guilty, you're an anti-Semite. That is the agenda they've created. We're talking about claims of U.S. government officials that found spying devices. That exists. That's there. Now, whether or not it was Israel, you could debate. They found spying devices that they say technologically make a very clear line back to Israeli intelligence. That's the story. Please point to the anti-Semitic part for me. I think you get where I'm going here. And the fact that they're calling this anti-Semitic should very, very, very clearly expose the agenda of how they use it to cover up their crimes. End of story. You'd think that would be the end of the story in a logical, fact-based world. People could hear that and go, well, that there's no way to ignore that, but people do anyway. And just call me a racist anyway. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu issued a firm denial as well on his trip to Russia, to meet with Putin, calling the report a blatant lie, he said. Which part is, you know, up for you to decide, right? It's the lie. It's not that, you know, the devices were there. They do have clear ties to Israeli intelligence. They did get found. They were spying. So what part is a lie? That it was Israel? Is it a lie if you have evidence that points to them? Or is that just your suggestion? See, this is just everything is absolute. You're a racist and it's a blatant lie, except that there's evidence very clearly pointing in a direction. I mean, this is like a murder in a court of law where they present the murder knife, the murder weapon. Here's the murder weapon. And the fingerprints can be traced back to him with 70% certainty. And he just stands up and says, that's a blatant lie. Does he get to walk? Of course not. Of course not. Because somebody's allegation, based off absolutely nothing but their opinion, usually doesn't hold water unless you're the Israeli government. Now, the statement from the prime minister's office added, quote, there is a long-standing commitment and a directive from the Israeli government to not engage in any intelligence operations in the United States. This directive is strictly enforced without exception, he says, except all the times that it wasn't. And this is one of the most flagrant and embarrassing. And see, this is what they just hope that you're not intelligent enough to take about 30 seconds to do your research. It's not a secret. As this person says, it's not the first time it's been even reported that Israel spies on the United States, including industrial espionage, as was reported back in 2014 during the Obama administration. So do you think maybe they changed their policy in 2015? No. They're saying it's always been this way. We have a strict directive to never do, except this time, that time, and all the 30 times before that, when they, you know, illegally stole nuclear technology, or illegally spied on the Trump administration, or illegally spied on the Obama administration, or did any number of things that we historically know about, where they did exactly what they just said they have a strict directive not to do. I mean, this should insult you very much, because it's so easy to see. So what are we looking at here? I mean, really, what are we to believe after all of this? You get half of the mainstream media, half of our own government saying that this is Israel. So is half of our government anti-Semites? Sure, that's possible. But it's ridiculous to think that this is where we are, that we can start. We're now discounting our own people to take the blind word of somebody who does not use a foreign leader of another country who has lied about us many, many, many times. So what are we to believe? Well, as always, it comes down to a simple choice. You can either choose to believe those flatly denying those allegations, despite not presenting anything to counter the evidence or the claims, other than their word, of course, and a long history of lying about exactly these type of events, which makes their word mean less than nothing, or you can choose to believe all the facts and evidence presented. That paints a very clear picture of Israeli impunity and abuse of the American people, while our government not only allows it to happen, rather the executive branch in this case, but says nothing at all about it. So what does this suggest to you? What do you think? That maybe, we just got another glimpse of the blackmail operation that might just be running this country's government, dating all the way back to Prohibition and before. Something to consider. Now, let's jump over to one of these other stories here and see. I've got 9 minutes left before I got to go. I'm going to try to skim through these last ones here. This is just something that really upset me. I mean, how are any of these governments getting away with doing something like this while the UN is like literally categorizing all of these efforts? War crime. I mean, it's constant. And now it's just become kind of tacitly okay around the world that, well, the U.S. is doing it and no one seems to be caring about that. So why don't I want to make $1 billion selling illegal weapons legally to a country that's going to use them to murder people? You know, the most impoverished nation in the world with the U.S.'s direct support. And so now Spain, as well as many other countries that continue to say they're not going to, selling almost $1 billion worth of arms to the Saudi government, who is on a near daily basis committing egregious human rights violations and war crimes in Yemen with direct support of the United States. That should just disgust you, especially if you're in Spain and you're Spanish and your government is doing this with your tax dollars. That should bother you. Because the world has been pretty damn clear about what we feel about what's going on in Yemen. The United States has been pretty damn clear. What's also been pretty damn clear is that none of our governments give a damn what we think. That's otherwise something would have changed. By and large, the vast majority of this country doesn't want any war happening, except every war continues to get more and more intense and more fields of war continue to happen. They don't care what we think. They care about their agenda. And this is a perfect example of exactly that. If they cared about human life, they wouldn't be fomenting the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. Profit or not. Hundreds of thousands of lives people have died in this country. And it continues to carry on. And the United States has used a huge role in this. And of course, as I mentioned before, this is nothing new. That the United Nations is again, I mean, I got to give them credit for at least continuing to say it. I mean, to be honest, the UN doesn't really have that much power unless the rest of the world is willing to comply, or at least the powerful countries are willing to comply. The sad thing, the sad part of the world we're in today is that the powerful countries all kind of decided that we don't care about that anymore. Where in the past, it would have been the powerful collective that kind of forced the other ones into doing what was right. Whereas now, which again, I don't even necessarily agree with that structure, but today, the groups like United States and like Israel and scattered people around the EU, countries I mean, kind of just collectively decided, you know, we don't care anymore about the law. We don't care about, you know, human rights. We'll use them, sure, as we see fit to achieve our goals, but we're not going to let that stop us from achieving our goals. Because what's going to happen if we do violate those standing laws of international law? What's going to happen? Right? Because we would be the ones to enforce previously because we're the powerful one. But what if we just say, screw this law? No one can stop us. And I think they're very clearly making that point today. Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United States, and plenty of other actions happening across the Europe and other places show us beyond a shadow of a doubt that these governments do not feel they're beholden to the law at all. Whether they ever really did, at least they made a show of it in the past. Now, it is just, they do not care. And here is the UN again for what, like the 15th time in the last 4 years, standing up again and saying, yeah, they're committing war crimes. But they always say maybe. And this is what's so frustrating. Always. They could have a photograph of the president of the United States beheading a person in Yemen, and they would still say they may be complicit of a war crime in Yemen. Because the article goes on to make it abundantly clear. There's nothing maybe about this. What they did was continue to sell arms to the countries that were murdering people in Yemen over and over and over, despite all of the reports, despite all of the evidence, despite everything they've continued to show. The starvation, the intentional targeting of civilians, the intentional targeting of food stores, everything. They know this is happening. That, you know why they know for a fact? Because the UN had verified numerous times that the Houthis had in fact done their part. And every single time the Saudis did not abide by the supposed ceasefire. Every time. Three times, 3 days in a row, the UN confirmed the Houthis were doing what they were supposed to. And every time the Saudis pushed forward. Which was the plan, by the way, which I've continually pointed out. Every single time that's what happens. The goal is to use the ceasefire to maybe gain some ground in a war that you're losing. That's what it's about. Abusing the lives of civilians in order to achieve your goals. This is war crimes. The US, France, the UK, Saudi, Israel, they're all guilty. All of them. And we all know that. Even those of you out there going, oh, you hate Israel, you're a racist. Deep down, you know what's happening. The point is, you just don't care. You've been conditioned to think that those terrible terrorist Palestinians or evil Assad and his people are all bad, evil villains. In fact, reality is that those are all civilians. All of these locations are chock full of people just trying to live their lives. And your villainous government has somehow managed to convince you that those people aren't worthy of life. That they don't deserve your time. They don't deserve your energy, your love, your compassion, your anything. And that's really sad to recognize. But the point is that until we do something as the people of these countries respectively, it's going to continue because there's really nothing I see that can stop them. Because the law sure doesn't make any difference to them anymore. Now, it looks like I got about 3 minutes left. The last part was just going to be, and I can talk about some of these more tomorrow, the reality. That the Pentagon is once again buying depleted uranium, and thank you to Keith in the chat for sharing this with me. Depleted uranium and Russian-made ammunition, which, again, those are two separate stories, really. You know, gee, I wonder, and this is not the first time that the U.S. has actually been caught trying to kind of secretly acquire, you know, Iranian weapons or Russian weapons. Gee, why would they want to do that, I wonder? I'm sure you can piece that one together. But now we're buying depleted uranium again, when one of the most egregious war crimes that they were never held accountable for, despite all the evidence and everyone knowing it happened, was when the U.S. government used depleted uranium on civilians in Iraq, which left generations to this day suffering from deformations and illnesses of varying kinds. Cancer, leukemia, all kinds of stuff. No one disagrees what happened. We all know what happened. The story is abundantly clear. In fact, that they decided to use that depleted uranium because they didn't know what to do with it. So they figured, you know what? Let's just use it to hurt people in Iraq because we're trying to achieve a goal. And that's not my opinion. That is verifiable history of the government that is leading the charge today with all of the other things we're talking about. And that should make you stay. That should keep you up at night, knowing that you maybe haven't done enough to stop it, that you haven't spoken out enough, that you haven't told people what's going on, that maybe, just maybe, you're a little too afraid to admit that you agree, because they've told you all your life that if you think anything like this, then you're crazy. The sad reality is, though, today we're finding out that the crazy ones all along have been the ones who really knew what was happening. And now they're getting so afraid that they're batting all of it away and pushing us into these corners to make us look like we're crazy. But we're not going to give them that. We're not going to allow them to win that way. Same reason they're trying to pass. All of a sudden, we got new information about the Saudis again with 9/11. Weird. I wonder why. Should watch James Corbett's and James Evan Pilato's video from today. It's another sidestep. They're saying, oh, the Saudis, let's look it over there. Look at those again. They've had this ready just so we stop paying attention when something just like this happens. What's going on with 9/11? All the information from my video yesterday that I hope you'll check out that shows you that we've been lied to about that as well. Lies upon lies upon lies. Thank you for those that tuned in today for this unannounced quick show. I'm about to jump over to Brian's right now, After Hours Live on YouTube. Check it out. And on DLive. We're going to be covering the debate starting now until, 4 hours from now until it ends? So I hope to see you there. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.